So when we say that scripture is primarily curative in terms of telling us how we should act, but sometimes even in scripture there are many paths that are recommended, and then we may go to sadhu and guru, but guru may not be accessible to us, and we go to sadhus and they may give different opinions. So what do we do actually? One thing we have to know, that no one else can live our lives for us. No, I have to live my life. Even if I had my spiritual master 24 hours accessible to me, still my spiritual master cannot live my life for me. I have to live my life. It's I who am living in this body. It is I who am living in this mind. And this body and mind create certain problems for me. And it is I who have to deal with them. So, guidance from Guru Sadhu Shastra is never meant to be a replacement for our own intelligence and initiative. It is meant to be a complement for our intelligence and initiative. So that means the human intelligence and the divine guidance, they are meant to work together. It is not that the divine guidance replaces human intelligence. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna tell Arjuna? Vimrishaita dasheshena yathechati tatha kuru. In 18.63, Krishna tells Arjuna, deliberate deeply. Vimrishaita, do vimarshan. And then, yatha ichchasi tatha kuru. As is your desire, so you can act. That means, Krishna is telling Arjuna that you have to use your intelligence and decide how to act. So, if we start taking guidance as a substitute for our intelligence, then we will become over-dependent on others. And when we don't have guidance, we will become paralyzed. Eventually, later when we face a situation, and when we don't have guidance, we will become paralyzed. So, the mood of the Bhagavad Gita is not just to give instruction, or it is not just to give decision. You know, you should do this, you should not do this. Rather, it is to give the philosophical understanding by which one can take responsible decisions. So, certainly if we have to take major decisions in our life, which are going to have serious consequences, we should always try to consult our spiritual authorities, our spiritual master or some other senior devotee. And it is fine to consult multiple devotees also. There is nothing wrong in that. But usually it is good to have one guide. And that one guide, if it's a very major decision, we should consult them. And if they tell us something which we find very difficult, or we don't find it very practical or whatever, then there should be candid discussion with them. You know, these are my reservations for this. And if eventually they insist that we should do this, then we can go ahead and do it. But in general, it is good to do our own homework first. That means with my intelligence, I weigh the pros and cons. See, because as I said, our spiritual master cannot live our lives for us. So even if, for example, I had my spiritual master's guidance directly. Now, if my spiritual master tells me, do this, don't do this. But see, if I am not convinced about doing this, then somebody says, you don't have faith in your spiritual master. Well, if I don't have right now. I can't suddenly magically develop that faith. Faith, the growth of faith is also a natural evolution. So, if I am not convinced about a particular solution, even if it is a good solution, because I am not convinced, I may not implement it wholeheartedly. And then, it may not work out. Not because the solution is not right, but because my implementation is not wholehearted. That's why life often presents us with difficult decisions to make. And we shouldn't think of the spiritual master's guidance as a push button solution. You know, it's like I press one button, the spiritual master gives guidance, and that's the whole problem is solved. Life is rarely so simple. So, we, at least in the early stages of our spiritual life, we usually have one spiritual guide from whom we learn, from whom probably our shiksha guru or whatever, and they give us guidance about how we should act in our lives. And eventually, as we grow in our spiritual life, you know, we also understand ourselves better, understand our capacities better, understand our own aspirations better, what is truly important for us. And then eventually, we take guidance. We take guidance from those who understand us best. So it is not necessary that we always need to take guidance from one devotee. I said in the initial stages, you know, we are very much the slaves of our mind. I like this, I like this, I don't like this. And whatever we like, we'll do, and then we'll try to avoid taking up commitments in our spiritual life, doing things which are unpalatable, sometimes which is necessary. But in the long run, we need like-minded association. So, if I have the inspiration to do book distribution, and then other devotee, some devotee tells me, oh, you know, we should build a temple. Well, both are good, but if I don't feel inspired to do that, then I may do it for some time, that's what is required. But that may not be my heart's deep aspiration. So then if I have a very strong aspiration to do book distribution, then I should associate with those devotees who are inspired for book distribution. And then I can move on. So that way, even the spiritual guidance that we get from from different sadhus, you know, we have to find out those sadhus who are like-minded. Those whose thinking makes sense to us. Sometimes different devotees give answers also in different ways, similar questions, and some answers just click to us. Other answer, you know, it don't make sense to us. So, you know, people are different. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that we should have not just Sadhu Sangha, but Sajatiya Ashaya Bhagwat Bhagwat Sajatiya Ashaya Snigdha Bhagwat Bhakti Sangha. That means Sajatiya Ashaya. People who have similar category of desires. Snigdha, affectionate. So that's why we grow in our spiritual life, and as we grow in our spiritual life, we gravitate towards like-minded association. And in that like-minded association, by using our intelligence and by taking guidance from others, we can have both of them as complement, which enables us to take wise decisions. And sometimes we may take wrong decisions also. It's not a terrible mistake. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one place, that sometimes if we have gone wrong, if I wanted to go here and then I have gone this way, that does not mean I have to go back all the way and then I have to start again. If I have gone off track, then from wherever I have gone off track, I come back. Sometimes some decisions we have to learn by experience. And as soon as we realize we've gone off track, then we come back on track. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Any other questions?